It has been a while since we've looked again at this series that we started on home improvement. As a matter of fact, it's been since February that we did a lesson in this series. So I thought we better get back to it before we could no longer call it a series. I want to take a look at the role that love plays in our home. We're going to look at the atmosphere that love creates in the home. And we're going to be looking at a familiar text. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Because it is a familiar text and because we've studied from it a number of times before, I've decided to read from a different translation in this particular sermon. I'm going to be reading from the Legacy Standard Version. It is a newer translation. It's in the family of the New American Standard translation, but wanted to read from it as we are studying this familiar text together. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Again, this is from the Legacy Standard Version. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag, is not puffed up. It does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I always want to add the beginning of verse 8, love never fails. We're talking about atmosphere. I noticed there's a somewhat of a change in the layout of the display here, but the very top, we're talking about atmosphere. Atmosphere is very important. We have some scientists who believe in evolution, and their concept of life is that life is like soup mix. Anywhere in the universe that we have water, we've got life. Well, it doesn't work that way. It takes a lot more than a few chemicals and water. Among other things, there are a lot of variables. Among other things, you have to have the right kind of atmosphere in order for life to exist. If you and I were to take a spaceship to Venus or to Mars and just step out of the craft onto the surface of the planet, we would die very quickly. The atmosphere would kill us. The atmosphere has to be just right. Well, there's another definition of the word atmosphere in my Webster's Dictionary. When you get down to definition number 4, atmosphere is a pervading or surrounding influence or spirit, a general mood or social environment. Although it is not life-threatening, that is, our immediate life doesn't depend on it, this kind of atmosphere is important as well, especially when you go into a business or you go into a restaurant. They want to make sure that they have the right kind of atmosphere for their clientele, that you walk in and the mood that is set by the room is pleasing to you so that you're going to enjoy being there, it's welcoming to you, and of course, you're going to want to come back. That kind of atmosphere is important as well. Let me ask you, what is the atmosphere like in your home? I don't mean when you've got company over and the house is as clean as it's been and who knows how long and everybody knows to behave because you got, I mean day to day. What is the atmosphere like in your home? What are things like around your home? Some homes are cold. The people who are there have grown apart. There's not much communication going on. Some houses are too hot. There's too much friction there. And that constant friction between the people in the home make it unwelcoming. Where can we set our thermostat so that we are assured of a good atmosphere in our homes? Well, the world is going to offer us all kinds of different ideas. But the Bible teaches that love, agape love, is to rule the home. Love will set the appropriate atmosphere in our home. So let's go through our text and let's ask the question, let's make the observation. What will it look like if we are living 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 in our homes? What's that going to cause? What kind of atmosphere is that going to create? Well, from reading the text, we see number one, it will create an atmosphere of calmness because love is patient. That is, love suffers long, verse 4. And verse 5 says that love is not provoked. So love, agape love, is patient. It is long-suffering, and it is not easily provoked. How would you like to live in a minefield? If you don't know what a minefield is, that's just an area where an enemy has buried landmines. And you don't know where they're at. And any step you take could be the wrong step. It could be the false step, and it would detonate that bomb. How would you like to live in a home like that? Not with the literal landmines, but living with someone who is easily provoked. And if you say the wrong thing or even look the wrong way, they explode. No one wants to live in an environment like that where everyone is on edge and people are just waiting to be offended. Love doesn't allow that to happen. You know, we're very much living in a culture like that now, aren't we? We're living in a society like that where everyone's looking to be offended. That is not love. It's not agape love. Love suffers long. That is, it is patient. It is long-tempered. And love is not provoked. The NIV says not easily angered. Agape love controls the passions. It keeps a cool head. It allows everything to remain calm, even in a threatening situation. Patience in the home is essential because problems are going to arise and they have to be reacted to in the right way, in the proper way. And love is going to govern that. Love is going to make sure that when you've got emergencies that come up, they're handled in the right way. But even more than important than that, when you've got problems that arise, love is going to temper that. Love is going to make sure that the response is just exactly what it should be. Husbands are admonished to be patient with their wives. In Colossians chapter 3, now we'll come back to our text in 1 Corinthians, but Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. So husbands are to exercise this patience, this calmness of love. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, 1 Peter 3 verse 7, we read, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Wives need to be patient with their husbands. Your husband is not a project. He's not a lump of clay that you get to mold. He already has his character. He already has his strengths and his weaknesses. I look at prospects for marriage, candidates for marriage, much like buying a used car. Used to be on a used car, there was a sign that said, "Sold as is." And that's the idea in getting in a relationship with someone. They are who they are. And for you to expect them to change, or for you to demand that they change to suit you, is not agape love. That is not love. So love is going to create an atmosphere of calmness in your home. Is that what you need in your home? Think about that. Let's move on. Agape love is going to create an atmosphere of usefulness. In verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. That word for kind is translated from a Greek word that comes from a family of words that literally means to be useful or to be needful. The English word kind implies a charitable spirit, doesn't it? kind is that idea that refers to an action that meets some desperate needs. Love is considerate and always provides what is of value or worth to the object of love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and action was taken to help the object of one's love. Love is compassionate and helpful. The husband gets up and provides for his family because he loves his family. The wife takes care of the home, takes care of the children because of her love for the family. The children obey and honor their parents because they love their parents. This is the atmosphere that love will create in the home. Love also will create an atmosphere of peace. Verse 4 continues, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or is not jealous. The Greek term behind envy or jealous is a term that literally means to boil over. So when I look at this passage, is not jealous or does not envy, in my mind I picture a pot of boiling water. Who would want to interact personally with somebody who is boiling over like a pot of boiling water? Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't have the knob on the stove where you can crank it up to the boiling point. Love shuts that off. God created the man and the woman as companions, complementing each other, not competing with each other. Our culture has tried to dissolve gender differences, and in doing so has encouraged especially the women to compete with the men. And that's bad enough when it's out in society. It's bad enough when it's in the workplace. But when that unscriptural way of thinking comes into the home, it spells disaster, because the husband and the wife are not to be competing with each other. They are complementing each other. Wives can become envious of their husbands, successes, maybe the honor that they get for one thing or for another. Husbands can become envious of their wives. I think especially when the first child is born. Think of how that changes the dynamic between that relationship. Here the wife was giving the attention to her husband, and he was receiving that attention. And then now, all of a sudden, all that attention is going to the new child, as it should be. But where does that leave the husband? Husbands and wives have to work through that change in their lives. And they have to remember love. And they have to practice love as they start that new chapter in their lives. Love helps to create that atmosphere of peace. So as we're looking at this list, does your home need some calmness? Does it need some peace? Does it need some mutual help from one another? Maybe love is what you need in your home. Love creates an atmosphere of humility. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not seek its own, as you go into verse 5 of our text. The Legacy Standard Version says, love does not brag, is not puffed up, does not act unbecomingly. Love does not do this. Love creates that atmosphere of humility. Love is not self-centered. It doesn't promote or brag about itself. It's not swelled up with its own importance. A person who puts themselves at the center of their life and demands that everyone else orbit them is looking for disaster. If we could return to our outer space idea that we had at the very beginning, instead of the atmosphere on the planet, think about a planet with the moons orbiting it, or the sun with the planets orbiting it. Some people, that's how they view themselves and their lives, that they are the center of everything and everyone else has to revolve around them and orbit them. And you know what? Those are some of the most miserable people we know. because life doesn't work that way. And we have to learn that, because when babies are born, guess what? They're the center of their universe. When they get hungry, when they get messy, when they get tired, they let everyone know about it until it gets fixed. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. But the challenge that parents have is to take them from infancy into childhood and to teach them, hey, you're not the center of the universe. There are other people in your world, and you need to become aware of that, and you need to live in that way. As we were raising our children in worship services, Christy got to handle most of that because I was up here watching her doing that. But she made it clear to me that on the days when I wasn't preaching, I was on child duty. And that was fair enough. That was fair enough. And I remember when our children were that little, and they were learning about behavior and worship services. I do remember every once in a while they would start to get vocal, they'd start to get loud, and I would say, look around you. Look around you. The people around you are trying to listen. They're trying to listen. You need to think about them. And after that failed, we'd go to the back and we'd take care of it. But we tried. We tried. And those are those little steps that we take, and those are those little battles that we fight as we are trying to take these infants and turn them into children that are doing what children need to be doing. Every parent gets to do that. Love removes us entirely from the picture. Agape love removes us, and it fills that void with everyone else. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves, not merely looking out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Bringing that into the home, the needs of our spouse should be considered more important than our own. Marriage has to be a relationship of giving, not of taking. Marriage is not about me, it's about us. Child rearing is not about me as the parent, it's about us as a family. Love will help keep all of that in proper perspective. Love will create an atmosphere of humility. And love will create an atmosphere of courtesy and respect, as we are in verse 5 still, that love does not act unbecomingly. That's the way the Legacy Standard Version reads. The New King James Version says, love does not behave rudely. This is an interesting Greek term. The term literally means to go against the scheme. Think about the disturbance that is caused when everything is going one way and someone is determined to go the other way. Someone is determined to swim upstream and go against everyone else. Now, there are times as Christians that's what we have to do. And we'll talk about that a little bit in our 11 o'clock hour. We can't go with the tide of the world. We have to stand out. We have to be different, but not in the home. Doing that causes disturbances, and it draws undue attention to ourselves, to go against the scheme. I tell you, as you've gotten to know me, the way my mind thinks, the illustration that I think of whenever I think of this word, does not behave rudely, does not act unbecomingly, does not go against the scheme, I think about petting a cat the wrong way. What happens if you've got a cat on your lap and you start at the tail and you start petting to the head? You're not going to have a cat very long. That's That's just where my mind goes. That's what I think of. Going against the scheme, that's not right, that's inappropriate, and that upsets everyone. Love doesn't allow you to act that way. Love doesn't allow you to put your own interest first and that you act in a way that is upsetting to everyone else. Why is it that we treat strangers sometimes better than we treat our own spouse? Why is it that we think nothing of embarrassing our spouse? Husbands are to love and cherish their wives as Christ does the church. Wives are to respect and honor their husbands. Love makes sure that this is done in the home. And here's one more thing. Love, agape love, will create an atmosphere of forgiveness. Verse 5 says that love does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. This phrase, does not take into account a wrong suffered, some versions say, thinks no evil. But the King James Version, which says, taketh not account of evil, and the Legacy Standard Version as well, there's that word account there, and there's a reason. The Greek term was originally an accounting term. The idea is somebody that has a ledger, and they're keeping tracks of records on a ledger, and love doesn't do that. Love doesn't say, okay, I see what you've done to me here, and I'm going to write that down, and I'm never going to forget it. Love doesn't do that. When we forgive, we have to let it go. We have to erase. We have to cancel out that debt. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22 teaches us that our willingness to forgive has to be unlimited. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Peter thought he was being generous. And Jesus says, no. I don't say unto you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, get you a big tablet and number it to 490. And when he breaks that, well, then you can let him go. No, Jesus is exaggerating to make the point, it's without limit. It's without limit, and we have to be willing to do that with others, with our brethren, but we especially have to be willing to do that in our homes. When we fail in other areas, and we're going to, forgiveness is there to repair it and to make it right again. And when we fail to forgive, that damage is there and it can't be fixed. Holding a grudge will destroy a marriage. It's bad enough having to share a home with someone who's holding a grudge against someone else, because you're having to share that home with someone that's got that poison in their heart and they won't get rid of it. But when the grudge is against you, how much worse that is. It's intolerable. Love does not keep a record of past failures to use it at strategic moments. I noticed something this past week on the 4th of July. When on social media, a lot of us were celebrating, giving each other well wishes, and our nation celebrating its birthday, I noticed a couple of my liberal-minded friends made some comments along the line, well, despite our poor record as a nation, I do wish it happy birthday. I mean, they had to get those slights in. How would they like it if their loved one said, you know what, despite everything that you did terrible as a child and a teenager, we wish you a happy birthday anyways? That is not love. That is anything close to love. Love does not keep a running tally on the offenses that are committed against it. Love creates an atmosphere of forgiveness. Atmosphere is very important. Just ask an astronaut. Just ask someone who owns a restaurant. What is the atmosphere like in your home? Because it's important there as well. No home is perfect, but the presence of love in the home can be seen and felt. It creates an inviting and comfortable atmosphere in which we can live the way God intended for us to live. When love is in the home is the closest thing to heaven that we are going to find here on earth. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the gift of love. We're thankful for your love that you have for us and that you have shown us how we are to love one another. We pray that you would help us to understand as best we can what true agape love is and that we would practice it in our lives towards our brethren, towards our neighbors, towards our enemies, but especially with a study like this, that we would show it towards those with whom you have blessed us to be able to share the closest part of our lives, our family. Help us to love as you have taught us how. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.